Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Tonight's episode will feature heavily on the NBA and what is in the future since the Los Angeles Lakers were crowned the NBA champs this past Sunday after beating the Miami Heat in a series of 4-2. I'm excited to get started, so let's get right into it. Here are some key questions surrounding the upcoming NBA season, start of free agency, and 2020 NBA draft date. The NBA has yet to nail down a start date for next season, but it appears likely to begin after the new year. With the Los Angeles Lakers officially crowned champions of the strange and unique 2019-20 NBA season, the league must now shift its focus to next season, where even more questions arise about what it's going to look like. The NBA pulled off the unthinkable by creating a COVID-19-free bubble down in Orlando to safely complete the remainder of the season. And now it will have to once again find a way to keep everyone safe throughout the upcoming season. The only thing we know for sure is when the 2020 NBA draft is, which is November 18th. And that will be taking place. But beyond that, everything is still up in the air. It's also known that the league prefers to play games in market as opposed to a bubble environment it just went through down in Orlando. But again, that isn't a certainty. However, with so many questions that exist about next season, I'll try to answer some of the main ones with all the latest information. I'll update this regularly as more information becomes available. When does free agency start? Before the NBA can tip off next season, it must figure out some off-season logistics. Chief among them is when free agency starts. Even more important, what will the salary cap for each team look like heading into the upcoming season? There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding next season's cap projections, which are currently set at $115 million. There have been reports saying that there isn't going to be a sizable drop next season, while others have said that next season's cap could be similar to the 2019-20 season, which was set at $109 million. If that's the case, then teams will be losing roughly $6 million each. However, NBPA Executive Director Michelle Roberts recently said that she doesn't think that can be much deviation from the current $115 million projection. Bottom line, though, is that everything is still rather murky surrounding the salary cap, and whatever that number is set at will impact teams' spending on free agents. Regardless, the salary cap will need to be determined ahead of free agency, so franchises know how much money they're working with. That could be figured out sometime in early to mid-November, according to The Athletic's John Hollinger, while free agency could start sometime after that, but ideally no later than December 1st, per Roberts. This would give teams enough time to familiarize themselves with their new financial numbers and work out which players they want to target when free agency opens. When is the NBA draft? One of the few dates solidified is the NBA draft, which is slated for November 18th. The process leading up to the draft has already been significantly altered due to the pandemic, but the league has tried it as best as possible to give teams enough information to evaluate prospects. Instead of the usual draft combine that is held in Chicago every May, where prospects would go through medical, skill, and agility testing, The league had 85 prospects travel to their nearest NBA market to go through those tests, but no team personnel were allowed. The league then distributed all the information gathered to each of the 30 teams. While it isn't ideal, as teams would prefer to watch these guys in person, it's better than nothing given the circumstances. Prospects will have the ability to meet with teams face-to-face, though, before the draft. The league gave teams permission to conduct in-person interviews with draft prospects from October 16th through November 16th. and will be allowed 2 visits per player and no more than 10 total in-person interviews. Every prospect will have to register a negative COVID-19 test 72 hours in advance of an interview, and will be allowed to bring 3 people with them, which could be family members, agents, etc. Teams are allowed to have a maximum of 3 people present for interviews with prospects. It's still unclear how the NBA draft itself will be conducted, but perhaps the league opts for a virtual event similar to what the WNBA and NFL have already done this year. When does next season tip off? Ah, yes, the question everyone wants to know. The short answer is, we still have no idea, but there have been several general dates floating around. League Commissioner Adam Silver recently said that while next season wouldn't start before Christmas Day, a better expectation is January or February. Roberts also said that late January or early February are ideal dates to start the upcoming season, but still, those dates aren't definitive. It's probably easier to assume that the upcoming season won't start until the new year, unless the league really wants to get going quickly. Whenever the start date for the next season is announced, though, it will come with ample notice, as the NBA and NBPA agreed that players would reportedly be given an 8-week notice ahead of when next season will begin. That means if the league wants to start next season on January 18th, which has been speculated given it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a significant day on the NBA's calendar, then it would have to inform players by November 23rd, an 8-week notice. What will next season look like? The league and the players' union are on the same page that next season should be a full 82-game schedule, with less travel and played within each team's home market. Due to the significant financial losses the league had as a result from the pandemic, getting in as many regular season games would be ideal. In terms of travel, one option that's been tossed around is having multi-game series. Teams will play each other 2 to 3 times consecutively in order to limit the number of times each team has to travel back and forth, which would ideally limit the exposure to COVID-19. This would be similar to how the MLB sets its schedule up to have teams play multi-game series throughout the entirety of the regular season. And it could be adopted temporarily for the NBA during the pandemic. Will fans be able to attend games? We've seen the NFL hold games already this season with fans in attendance. And while we can't say for sure that it's worked well because we don't know if those fans have been exposed to COVID-19, it is something that the league will look at for this upcoming season. Fan attendance makes up 40% of the league's revenue, and without that, the NBA would again be struggling to generate revenue. Having fans in attendance also adds to the atmosphere of the game itself. The league did the best it could to try and create a typical game atmosphere inside the Orlando bubble. But when the Lakers were crowned champions on Sunday, it all felt a little hollow without their fans there to cheer them on and witness it. Obviously, the league will do all the necessary research needed to determine if having fans in any capacity is truly safe enough during a global pandemic. But with it being inside an arena instead of outside in a ballpark or an open-air football stadium, the risk factor is already heightened for the NBA. Let's take a quick break before we are back with more of the NBA and Jimmy Butler and the Heat being back next season. Tune in for more on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. And we're back with more talk about the NBA and what's been going on since the NBA Finals ended. Here's more on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Jimmy Butler says the Heat will be back, but free agency decisions. Giannis is in pursuit of a complicated post-finals picture. Miami's front office clearly had a plan, but that was before it went to the NBA Finals. At the end of Miami Heat's exhilarating, exhausting, and extraordinary run in the bubble, Jimmy Butler said they would get better. The Los Angeles Lakers have beaten them in 6 games in the NBA Finals, but their franchise player pledged that they'd learn from it. "We'll be back," Butler said. "That's what we're all saying in that locker room. We got guys that want to do it. We got guys that already want to get back in the gym and get to working at this thing. That's what we do here." Recent history suggests this is easier said than done. In 2009, Dwight Howard's Orlando Magic took down LeBron James's Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals, but like these Heat, their season ended with a loss to the Lakers in Orlando. Howard told reporters it would make me even hungrier to get back to the finals. The Magic haven't returned, and until this year, neither has Howard. 11 years later, in his second stint with Los Angeles as a member of James's supporting cast, Dwight Howard told Sports Illustrated that he still thinks about that missed opportunity every day. In 2011, the Dallas Mavericks did what this year's Heat couldn't: defeat James's heavily favored team in the finals. In the offseason, however, they decided not to run it back. Defensive anchor Tyson Chandler left for the New York Knicks, and the Mavs' big acquisition, Lamar Odom, was a full-fledged disaster. Owner Mark Cuban would later explain that they saw the lookout shorten 2011-2012 season as a throwaway for their aging roster, so they decided to maintain their financial flexibility. Dallas had its sights set on Dwight Howard, and it wanted either Chris Paul or Deron Williams to run the team. None of those dreams came true, and the Mavericks more or less flailed around until Luka Doncic's arrival. Since the title, they have not made it past the first round. In 2012, the Oklahoma City Thunder stormed into the game's biggest stage, where they lost to James's Heat in 5, mostly extremely close games. Many analysts chalked it up to inexperience, and it framed as necessary step for a team on its way to many more finals appearances. 4 months later, they traded James Harden to the Houston Rockets, and since then they haven't been back. For this year's Heat, it wouldn't be so bad to be the Magic or the Thunder. Much was made of Orlando letting Hedo Turkoglu walk in free agency after losing to the Lakers, but its offensive rating actually rose with Vince Carter in his place. To this day, J.J. Redick maintains the 2010 team was better, even though it lost in the conference finals. Oklahoma City also remained contenders, and it improved on both ends statistically in its first post-Harden season. If not for Russell Westbrook's knee injury that year, Serge Ibaka's calf injury in 2014, Kevin Durant's foot injury in 2015, and Klay Thompson's fireball show in 2016, it might have won a championship. The good news is that the Heat are not the veteran-heavy Mavs. Bam Adebayo is 23, Tyler Hero is 20, and Duncan Robinson is 26. Butler, who's 31, is 2 years younger than Dirk Nowitzki was. They do, however, have similar choices to make. Goran Dragic is a free agent, like Chandler was then, and the front office has to decide how important it is to maintain a financial flexibility. As of February, that was extremely important. Miami was close to adding Danilo Gallinari at the trade deadline, but wouldn't jeopardize its 2021 cap space to do so. Pat Riley explained that it had a 2-year plan. "We are committed to winning and getting back into contending for a world championship. We will get players and what we need in the next year or two." Riley told reporters about a month before the hiatus. The Heat made the finals ahead of schedule, and they surely would prefer to remain in the title mix next season. If keeping their books clean in 2021, when Giannis Antetokounmpo headlines the free agent class, is still the priority. They could theoretically still bring the band back, but their options would be limited. As The Athletic's John Hollinger noted, they could try to re-sign Dragić, who's 34, and Jay Crowder, who's 30, on a one-year contract or a 1+1 deal, which feature a non-guaranteed second year and can be helpful for trade purposes, but stay under the luxury tax so they can use the full mid-level exception on a free agent, Hollinger suggested after going after Paul Millsap. This makes sense as long as Dragić and Crowder are on board with the plan and Miami is still comfortable with making Adebayo, who is eligible for an extension this offseason, wait until restricted free agency for a long-term contract. But what if Dragić would prefer a longer deal on a lower salary? What if one of the better 2020 free agents like Gallinari or Fred VanVleet expresses interest in the Heat? They could get around $20 million in cap space by renouncing Dragić and Crowder, along with Derek Jones Jr., Myers Leonard, Solomon Hill, and Udonis Haslam. Before the bubble, Miami's position seemed simple. It would all but certainly limit itself to internal and incremental improvement in between now and the 2021 offseason. Now, the calculus is more complex. If the Heat can meaningfully improve by cutting into their cap space, there are compelling arguments to do so. Their Eastern Conference competition will be looking for reinforcements, and the Brooklyn Nets plan to join the party. Miami proved last summer that it doesn't even necessarily need cap space to add a star free agent. Beyond all that, if Butler and Adebayo are in its cornerstones, perhaps it should be aggressively pursuing a Bradley Beal or Drew Holiday-sized upgrade, rather than focusing on the back-to-back MVP. Antetokounmpo might be a long shot anyway. The Heat are in an inevitable spot, especially considering they spent the post-James, pre-Butler years mirrored in varying degrees of mediocrity. They have a roster that just made the finals, featuring several players who are still developing, and they have many options. Miami's front office, however, knows exactly how hard it is to win a title, and while the 2009 Magic, 2011 Mavericks, and 2012 Thunder are useful points of comparison, it doesn't even need to look outside in its own organization for history lessons. The Heat thought they'd get more than 4 years with James, and even this season they were both beneficiaries, no home court advantage in the playoffs, and victims, injuries to Adebayo and Dragić in the finals, of circumstances beyond their control. When you have a legitimate chance to win a championship, you typically do everything in your power to maximize it, without much regard for a long-term flexibility. Miami's situation, though, is anything but typical. There is no right answer on what comes next, just a bunch of difficult choices. Let's take another quick break before we are back with more of the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Here are some bold NBA offseason predictions for all 30 teams. Lakers add third scorer or 76ers trade for Chris Paul. These are the wildest moves you might see this offseason. Welcome to the three-point shot of off-season previews. I won't get 100% of these correct. They are meant to be properly ambitious, and as such, a percentage hovering around the NBA's 35.8% three-point average seems more realistic. That is the balance we are trying to walk here. Every bold prediction below is grounded in some form of realism. LeBron James is not going to get traded, but big names will hit the block. And despite a depressed cap environment, meaningful players are going to change teams. These predictions are meant more as a guide through some of the wilder things all 30 NBA teams can do, what they actually will. Most of these predictions are entirely attainable, should the team in question choose to pursue them. In most cases, it would be within their best interest to do so. Some teams are going to act with appropriate logic and boldness and make big moves. Others will not. If your team does, though, something like the ones outlined below are likely to be the basic framework they operate within. The Atlanta Hawks signed no more than one multi-year deal. It doesn't take long to create a free agent destination. The Brooklyn Nets went from the lottery to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in a single season. Atlanta has similar potential. Trae Young's combination of passing and shooting makes him an ideal teammate for 2021's best free agents. And the Hawks know that. Their goal this season is to reach the point Brooklyn did during the 2018-19 campaign. And that means sneaking into the playoffs, an entirely attainable goal without committing long-term money to veterans. The Hawks will sign a couple of hefty one-year deals and will tell John Collins to wait on an extension and spend the next season attempting to prove their worth to 2021 stars. Number 2. Boston Celtics sign Isaiah Thomas. The Celtics need to pinch pennies given how deep their tax territory they already are. Brad Wanamaker is going to cost more than the minimum to retain, and Celtics already have Romeo Langford and Carson Edwards waiting for minutes. They'll let Wanamaker walk and bring in another point guard with the minimum. It needs to be someone accepting of the fact that the Celtics would prefer to play Langford and Edwards, but are open-minded if a veteran beats them out. Thomas, at this stage of his career, is likely flexible and may be willing to bet on himself in that system that once made him an all-star. Brooklyn Nets don't trade for a third star. The Nets have the chips to deal a third superstar in theory. In practice, teams will be justifiably worried about Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie. LeVert has major injury concerns. Neither shoots particularly well. Both have played their best basketball when superior teammates have been injured. Teams are going to be hesitant to give up superstars in exchange for either without seeing how they function alongside Durant and Irving. The Nets may swing a deal at the deadline, but given the risks involved in their two best available assets, an off-season trade presents a number of potentially insurmountable obstacles. Number 4. Charlotte Hornets trade Malik Monk. Malik Monk needs a change of scenery after falling behind Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham in the rotation and losing part of the season to a drug suspension. The talent is still there, though, and someone is going to take a chance on it. Watch out for younger rebuilding teams in need of an on-ball offense. The Knicks and Pistons stand out as immediate options. Number 5. Chicago Bulls try and fail to trade Zach LaVine. New regimes usually want to put their own stamp on organizations. Zach LaVine put up huge offensive numbers last season, but is only 2 years away from free agency, clashed with the last coach, and struggles mightily defensively. The emergence of Kobe White makes him expandable. The problem is that is a buyer's market for teams looking for shooting guards. We'll mention a number of others that could get dealt this offseason, and few contenders are in the market for a defensive liability. We'll hear rumors about LaVine talks, but nothing will get done. Number 6. Cleveland Cavaliers retain Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and Andre Drummond. Cleveland tinkered with three big lineups after the trade deadline and they actually worked. While this trio specifically never played together, the combination of Love, Drummond, and Larry Nance Jr. outscored opponents by 25 points in 30 minutes. Sub Thompson in for Drummond, it's a plus 19 margin over 40 minutes. Remember, we're talking about Cleveland here. Any positive grouping is rare, and the Cavs just don't want to have any more tempting options on the table. They'll give Thompson a big one-year offer to remain with the only team he's ever known, and he can test the market again in 2021 when there will be more available cap space. Number 7. Dallas Mavericks acquire Danny Green. We'll delve into the Lakers' side of things in a bit, but the Mavericks, after breaking the offensive efficiency record by scoring 115.9 points per 100 possessions, could afford to lose a bit of offense. Their number 18 ranked defense needs work. They nearly signed Green during the 2019 offseason because he represents a rare player who can help that defense without hurting their offense. While he struggled through one of the worst shooting seasons of his career in Los Angeles, he is typically an excellent shooter, and it's worth noting that despite his slump, no Laker had a higher offensive rating in the playoffs. Green does so many little things well offensively that he can survive without hitting his shots, and his expiring contract fits Dallas's desire to maintain flexibility for 2021. Number 8. Denver Nuggets will keep all four of their major free agents. The Nuggets have roughly $30 million in room beneath the luxury tax to re-sign their own free agents. The four most important ones are Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee, Paul Millsap, and Torrey Craig. Grant should eat up around the half of that on a long-term deal. The other three simply lack leverage. The center market is so crowded that Plumlee will struggle to get up interest. Millsap's age and Craig's unsteady shot make them taxpayer mid-level candidates at best. It could be a tight squeeze, but the market just won't be kind enough to any of these Nuggets to lure them away from a good situation. Number 9. Detroit Pistons give Christian Wood $60 million for 3 years. In his final 22 games, Christian Woods shot 56% from the field and just over 40% from three-point range. In the NBA Finals, Anthony Davis shot 57% from the field and 42% from behind the arc. Now, Wood can't touch Davis from a talent perspective, but it goes to show how rare it is to find a big man that is both a dominant roller and a dependable shooter. It makes everything easier offensively, and the Pistons will have to pay to keep it. Something in the neighborhood of $20 million per year is not far-fetched. Number 10. Golden State Warriors acquire Aaron Gordon. Yes, the Warriors will likely seek out a big man to throw at Davis in a potential matchup with the Lakers, but that's more than doable on the taxpayer mid-level exception. Their real chip, the number 2 overall pick, needs to go to a two-way force that will benefit from their offensive infrastructure. That is, Gordon, who will fit right into Golden State's switch-heavy offense, has flashed a league-average shot on an Orlando team with no spacing whatsoever, and has at least enough on-ball chops to make defensive sweat as a fourth option. Such versatile forwards are rare, and Gordon may not be the star Golden State is hoping for, but he is the player that makes the most sense on the trade market given what they have to offer. The deal will be agreed to in advance, but held officially until after the Warriors sign the number 2 overall pick so that his salary can't count in the trade. That allows them to keep both Andrew Wiggins and the hefty trade exception they acquired for Andre Iguodala, which they can use in a separate deal. Houston Rockets will offer a first-round pick to dump Eric Gordon, but won't find a taker. The Houston Rockets have never paid the luxury tax under Tillman Ferreira, and currently owe just 5 players over $118 million next season. Unless Ferreira, a restaurateur in the middle of a pandemic, does a 180 on spending, the Rockets are going to search for a way to offload some money. The trouble is, nobody outside of that core 5 makes enough to make a difference. James Harden is untouchable, Russell Westbrook is untradeable, PJ Tucker and Robert Covington are already on a team-friendly basis, and that leaves Eric Gordon and his ill-advised extension. He is owed around $55 million guaranteed for the next three seasons. The Rockets will try to attach one of their few tradable first-round picks to dump him, but they will find no takers. When they don't, expect Daryl Morey to try to work his thrifty magic on the bench. Let's take one more quick break before we're back with the free agency in the NBA here on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. And we're back with one last segment on today's show featuring the NBA and some free agency talk here on Go Sport Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. So here's more with the NBA free agency. We got number 12, Indiana Pacers will trade Miles Turner for Drew Holiday. Victor Oladipo's impending free agency will generate rumors, but the Pacers telegraphed their interest in playing faster by firing Nate McMillan. One of their centers is going to get shopped, and there has been nothing yet to suggest that it will be Domantas Sabonis, so the Pacers will pivot. Acquiring Holiday would unite him with his two brothers on the team, Aaron and Justin, and give the Pacers a fearsome three-headed monster on the perimeter defensively between Holiday, Oladipo, and Malcolm Brogdon. Throw in the offensive gifts of Sabonis and TJ Warren, and the Pacers could have one of the most balanced starting fives in basketball. Number 13. Los Angeles Lakers will trade Kyle Kuzma, Danny Green, and a first-round pick for a third scorer. The Lakers tried out the whole Kyle Kuzma is our third star thing. It didn't work. He played the seventh most minutes on the team in the finals clincher and shot just 35.4% from the field in the series. Green is expendable, with Avery Bradley likely returning and Alex Caruso and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope seemingly entrenched in the backcourt. So the Lakers will package their only young asset with their biggest expiring salary to look for the third scorer they lacked all season. Just a few possible names in no particular order. We have Buddy Hield, DeMar DeRozan, Evan Fournier, Terry Rozier, Derrick Rose, and Zach LaVine. Some are more attainable than others there, and if all else fails, a straight-up Green for Tim Hardaway Jr. makes sense for both the Lakers and the Mavericks. If the Lakers do better and land someone off the original list, watch out for the Mavericks to try and weasel their way into the deal with some picks in order to nab Green. Number 14, Los Angeles Clippers will sign Dwight Howard. The Clippers have two somewhat viable offseason paths. They can use the full mid-level exception, but that would mean letting either Marcus Morris or Montrezl Harrell walk. Or they could use a taxpayer version and keep both. The former is possible, but the Clippers aren't that sort of team to let an asset walk for nothing. If necessary, they'd rather re-sign their own players to trade them later. If that is the case, the defensive-minded centers they'd likely actually prefer, such as Marc Gasol, Derek Favors, and Aron Baynes, will probably be out of their price range. Enter Dwight Howard. The Lakers can only offer him 120% of his minimum salary without using their exceptions, which they'll likely have earmarked for other players. Howard can still contend with the Clippers and wouldn't have to uproot his life, as he already presumably has a base in Los Angeles. Nikola Jokic knocked the Clippers out of the playoffs, and Howard handled him well in the Western Conference Finals. Whether he could hold his own against Davis in a Lakers matchup is another matter, but beggars can't be choosers in this price range. 15. Memphis Grizzlies will acquire Buddy Hield. The Grizzlies have a foundational defensive front court in Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark, as well as an uber-athletic lead ball handler in Ja Morant. All they're missing is a dead-eye perimeter shooter. Enter Buddy Hield, presumably available after a year of feuding with Kings coach Luke Walton. The Grizzlies have plenty of expiring contracts to relieve Sacramento of its long-term obligation to heal, and could furnish the Kings with several future draft picks now that they expect to be competitive moving forward. 16. The Miami Heat signed DeMarcus Cousins. The Heat were interested in Cousins in 2019, but lost out to the Lakers. The Lakers aren't likely to take such a big risk in defending a championship, but the Heat would. And their fitness infrastructure would likely do wonders for Cousins and his recovery. He played with Jimmy Butler on Team USA, so the two have a relationship. Cousins would fill in the Myers-Leonard slot, as Miami's tax situation likely prevents them from paying him much more than the minimum. In this scenario, they would let someone else pay Leonard more and take a minimum salary flyer on Cousins, who couldn't ask for a better place to start repairing his value. 17. Minnesota Timberwolves take LaMelo Ball, but bring him off the bench. All reports seem to suggest that the Timberwolves are leaning towards Ball, but the fit is strange. D'Angelo Russell is already their primary ball handler, and Ball's shot isn't good enough to play much of off-ball. The solution? Stagger Ball and Russell aggressively, giving them only a few minutes together per game while allowing them to focus primarily on leading the offense alone while on the floor. If nothing else, that would allow the Timberwolves to evaluate both of them independently and see which they prefer to keep, if splitting them up proves necessary. 18. The Milwaukee Bucks pay the luxury tax. This will be a token gesture more than anything else. The Bucks will pay the tax for sake of telling Giannis and Antetokounmpo they paid the tax. That will mean spending the taxpayer mid-level exception on a role player and perhaps making some minor trades. But for now, don't expect a blockbuster acquisition like Chris Paul in Milwaukee's future. 19. New Orleans Pelicans trade Jrue Holiday for Miles Turner. The Turner-Holiday deal is a no-brainer on the Pelicans' side. They need a center alongside Zion Williamson that can both protect him defensively and space the floor for him on offense. Turner's one of the few big men in basketball that does that, and he's six years younger than Holiday. Pelicans could get their entire core on the same timeline and find a better fitting front court partner for their franchise player in one fell swoop. Number 20. New York Knicks sign Carmelo Anthony. Portland could bring Anthony back, and he's made it clear that this is his preference, but the Blazers will likely be limited to the minimum in an Anthony contract. They need to save their exceptions for defensive upgrades. The Knicks have virtually unlimited cap space and could give Anthony meaningful money on a one-year deal without impacting their other plans. Doing so would give Anthony the closure he deserves after an ugly exit from New York, and it would give the Knicks a chance to prove that this regimen will take better care of its players than the last several. The Knicks seem hell-bent on adding a big name for that very purpose, but Anthony would allow them to do so without sacrificing meaningful assets or flexibility in the process. Number 21. The Oklahoma City Thunder acquire a 2020 lottery pick. When the NBA zigs, Sam Presti zags. Where most of the league sees a weak draft class, Presti will see an opportunity to snag an undervalued asset. Oklahoma City has too much of a long-term draft capital on its hands as it is. It needs young players to pair with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander now. Look out for Boston as a trading partner. The Celtics have the number 14, 26, and number 30 picks, but not enough roster spots for all three. Their financial situation makes trading for a future pick preferable. A deal involving one of the many picks the Thunder are owed in exchange for number 14 is one of the simplest trades on the boards this offseason. The Orlando Magic trade Aaron Gordon to Golden State. Now, we've already talked about this with Golden State earlier, but the Orlando Magic is most likely going to trade Aaron Gordon to Golden State now that they have a healthy Jonathan Isaac next season. Number 23. Philadelphia 76ers trade Al Horford and Matisse Thybulle for Chris Paul. The Thunder have something few other teams in the NBA have: time. Normal organizations can't afford to cripple their caps for 3 years on the Horford deal, but the Thunder can. They know from experience that their space won't get them the major free agents anyway. So they take on the Horford deal here to get Thybulle, a perfect partner for breakout playoff defender Lu Dort. Thunder would have one of the best young all-in-ball defenders in the NBA, and one of the best young ball defenders as well. The 76ers, meanwhile, solve their offensive woes and reunite Paul with Doc Rivers, with his former coach with the Clippers. It's a perfect fit, and the 76ers would rather send the Thunder picks. But as we've covered, they have enough of those. To dump Horford in this deal, it has to be Thybulle. Portland Trailblazers trade up and select Devin Vassell. The Blazers have a gut of guards with Gary Trent Jr. and Anfernee Simmons stuck behind Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. What they need is a two-way small forward, and this draft has several. Vassell is the easiest to plug and play for a Portland team with immediate ambitions, so expect him to be a consolidation target. Imagine, for instance, a deal that sends Simmons, the number 16 overall pick and a future pick to the Detroit Pistons, for number 7. Detroit is in asset accumulation mode and can afford to move down. Blazers need specific places, and Vassell easily fits that bill. The Toronto Raptors trade Norman Powell. There's something of a hedge on the Van Vliet prediction. If he stays, the Raptors may look to move Powell, a legitimate Sixth Man of the Year candidate, in the name of opening up more 2021 cap space. Even if he goes, that flexibility is valuable. And if the Raptors can get off his contract and maybe get his asset back, it's something they consider. Golden State stands out as a trade partner. The Warriors can fit him in neatly into the Iguodala trade exception, and would love his combination of shooting and defense. Utah Jazz let Jordan Clarkson walk and sign Derek Favors. Utah had perhaps the worst bench in basketball last season, and while Clarkson was, at times, a bright spot, bench scoring is somewhat easy to find for cheap. True lineup versatility is not. Jazz missed the option of going big this season. Bringing back Favors on the mid-level exception would give them the option back in to resolve their backup center situation. With Bojan Bogdanovic in place, though, the Jazz wouldn't be tied to a big ball either. It would mean staggering Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley more, but that makes more sense for both of them. The Jazz could find bench-caliber shot creation for the minimum, and Favors gives them an entirely different new dimension, even if it's one they recently actually had. And that's all the time we have for this show tonight. We'll be back next week with more talk on the NBA and just sports in general. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show here on Ghost Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Talk to you next week. Thank you.